Welcome. Welcome back. Welcome home. This is Deanna, and we want to thank you for being a part of the Life Together podcast. Before we get into this week's teaching with Pastor Tom, we want you to know that you matter to God and you matter to us. Life Together is a Wednesday evening gathering for worship, Bible study, and community at Oak Creek Assembly of God here in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. We pray that this week's message is life-giving, encouraging, challenging, and possibly even life-changing.
What if you were to walk into work tomorrow? What if you were to wake up and look at your spouse tomorrow? And the first thing you heard is, the world is a better place because you're here. Wouldn't that be great? Just walk into work, especially that coworker that gets under your skin. First thing they say, you know what? The world is a better place because you're here. This workplace is better because you're here. This home is better because you're here. Our neighborhood is better because you're here. Let me talk to the followers of Christ for just a minute. How about this? The world is a better place because you're a follower of Christ. The world is a better place because you are a follower of Christ. And what if I told you that that isn't my idea? It's not me saying that, although I do believe it's true, but actually Jesus made that comment. We're going to see that tonight. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5 once again as we once again continue our conversation around the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is a recording of Jesus teaching his first followers, and because we have it in the Bible, Jesus is teaching us how to live life his way. So Jesus tells his followers, the world is a better place because you are a follower of Christ. Let me show you how he phrases it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how shall it be made salty? It is from then on good for nothing but to be thrown out and to be trampled underfoot by men. For just a few minutes here tonight, I want to hang out just in that first sentence of this verse. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Salt was incredibly valuable when Jesus walked the earth. See, we think salt, and what maybe is the first thing that comes to your mind? We use salt to add flavor. Now, salt was very valuable when Jesus walked the earth, and yes, it added flavor to food, but it was most valuable. Why? Right, as a preservative. There was no Frigidaire. If there was an animal slaughtered and you wanted to preserve the meat for more than 24 hours, you had to use some salt. Salt was incredibly valuable when Jesus walked the earth because of its preservation. I want to tell you some things that are amazing about salt. And as I'm telling you these things about salt, maybe you already know some of these things, I want you to think of those in the context of Jesus telling you as a follower of Christ that you are the salt of the earth. So check this out. Salt doesn't just make your food tastier, it is actually required for life. You see, sodium helps the body perform a number of basic tasks, including maintaining the fluid in blood cells and helping the small intestine absorb nutrients. So get this, salt is essential for life. Salt is essential for life. How about this? We can't make salt in our own bodies. You on your own cannot manufacture salt. We as people, we have to look elsewhere to fill this need. There's actually a condition that can be very, very serious if you have a lack of salt in your body. Maybe you have been diagnosed with this, or you know someone who has been diagnosed with this. It's called hyponatremia. Anyone ever heard of that? Hyponatremia. And what it means is you lack sufficient salt in your body. And it can be mildly serious all the way up to actually life-threatening. To have an inadequate amount of salt in your body can threaten your life. Now, I know at least one person in this room is thinking, you see, I know there's a reason why I've been eating all those Doritos every day. I'm not a doctor, but I'm not sure that's exactly how it works. Mayo Clinic says sodium is an electrolyte, and it helps regulate the amount of water that's in and around your cells. When you lack sufficient sodium, your cells begin to swell, and the swelling can cause many health problems. So how about this? Salt deficiency is dangerous. So Jesus said, you, my followers, are the salt of the earth. And what we know about actual salt is that when there is a deficiency of salt, it is dangerous. Sodium that comes from salt draws the bacteria-causing moisture out of foods. It dries the food, and it makes it possible to store meat without refrigeration for a long period of time. We know a lot more about salt now than they did back then. They knew it was a preservative. Now we know a lot more about why that's true. Sodium plays a role in reducing the growth of dangerous pathogens and organisms that spoil products and reduce their shelf life. Salt combats that which destroys. Salt combats that which destroys. So once again, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. What we know is true about salt is salt combats that which destroys. The world is in a state of decay. The world is in a state of spiritual and moral decay. Isaiah said that there are people who will call what is good, they'll actually call it evil. And in the same way, they'll look at what's evil and they'll call it good. Anyone see that happening in the world today? Jesus said, sin will become rampant and hearts will grow cold. There is a perishing in this world. There is a moral and a spiritual decay in this world. So you and I, we get the concept of like if we left food out for a period of time, it starts to smell rotten. And after a few hours, at most like a day, you just wouldn't eat it. Unless it's a Twinkie, then you can leave it out for like 6 years and still eat it and it tastes the same. Twinkies, they last for like 6 or 7 years. French fry lasts 7 minutes, right? So we get the concept of food perishing. But in the Bible, there's all these prophets, even Jesus talked about how there is a spiritual and moral perishing. There is a decay. So if table salt or the salt that comes in the blue Morton container, if that can be used to preserve food, salt is the preservative of food. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. What is the answer for the moral and spiritual decay in this world? You. The world is better because you are a follower of Christ. The world is better because you are in it. So what is it that makes you the salt of the earth? What is it about you? Is it your good looks? Maybe. What is it about you that makes you the answer to the moral and spiritual decay in this world? So if you've opened your Bible and you're following along in Matthew chapter 5, we see these paragraph markers where it separates different thoughts, but those paragraph markers weren't originally there. So they're not divided, separate statements. Everything that Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount flows from what comes before it and flows into what follows after. Jesus has just finished giving what? We talked about it last week. Anyone here last week? How does he start the Sermon on the Mount? With the Beatitudes. So right before Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, he gives us the Beatitudes. And it's the qualities of the Beatitudes that make you the salt of the earth. Just a quick recap. The Beatitudes are challenges to take our relationship with God to the next level. If we are living a life pursuing God as Jesus is described in the Beatitudes, we listen to what Jesus says, receive Jesus as Savior. We mourn sin, so we see sin for what it is. We don't celebrate sin anymore. We actually see sin as destructive. We release control of our life over to God. That was specially for the control freaks in the house. We pursue what God calls good. We show mercy. So that means we give good things to people even though they don't deserve it. We forgive people even though they don't deserve forgiveness. We show compassion even though they don't deserve compassion. We give them opportunities even though because of what they've done, they don't deserve opportunities. We give them attention. We show them mercy. We give them good things that they don't deserve. The Beatitudes capture this idea of doing what's right for the right reasons. We lead others to make peace with God by sharing the hope that we have with Jesus, with the hope we have in Jesus Christ with those who are spiritually lost. In the last challenge of the Beatitudes, Jesus says, you grow closer to God. You are blessed when you are willing to suffer for the advancement of the kingdom. When you are living life God's way, and as a result, people mock you. As a result, they spit at you. As a result, they hate you. They tell lies about you. They harm you, maybe even take your life. Okay, so when we pursue, in our pursuit of living life the way that Jesus told us to live life, these challenges and the Beatitudes, that's what makes us the salt of the earth. The world is a better place because you bring the Beatitudes into the situation. This is so cool. I love this message tonight. God's word is so good. I want to show you something in the Old Testament where this example of salt is brought up. It's a miracle and it involves the prophet Elisha. There was Elijah and Elisha. We're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 2 for just a second if you want to flip all the way back to the Old Testament. As you're turning there to 2 Kings chapter 2, and I know some of you may need the table of contents, that's totally fine, no judgment here. 2 Kings chapter 2. This may be a new story for you tonight, what we're going to look at. It would have been very familiar to Jesus' audience. Jesus' audience there in the Sermon on the Mount were people that were Jewish, and it was part of a Jewish upbringing that you knew the stories, you knew the law, you knew what was in what we now call the Old Testament. So Jesus, his audience on that day when he delivered the Sermon on the Mount, he would have been familiar with what we're going to look at in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. One day, the leaders of the town of Jericho visited Elisha. We have a problem, my lord, they told him. The town is located in pleasant surroundings, as you can see. Pause there. On the outward appearance, everything looks good. It looks good on the outside. But the water is bad, and the land is unproductive. So here's how Elisha responds. Elisha said, bring me a new bowl with salt in it. So they brought it to him. So everything on the outside is this appearance of being good. And you know this. You can be good on the outside, but garbage on the inside, right? We know that water is essential to sustain life. And here in Jericho, the water is bad. And they can't get anything to grow. The land is unproductive. So the way things are right now, it cannot sustain life. Watch what happens. Elisha, he calls for salt. Verse 21. Then he went out to the spring that supplied the town with water and threw the salt into it. And he said, this is what the Lord says. I have purified this water. It will no longer cause death or infertility. And the water has remained pure ever since, just as Elisha said. Salt ended what brought on death. The water had been the cause of death, and it was so bad that there was no possibility of new life. It was causing infertility. But then salt, it comes into the equation, and it no longer causes death. The water that had been causing infertility, preventing new life, salt reverses that, and now the door is open for new life. Are you with me tonight? Are you seeing how powerful the example is when Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth"? Salt brought purity where there had been pollution. Salt brought purity where there had been pollution. Back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how shall it be made salty? It is from then on good for nothing but to be thrown out and to be trampled underfoot by men. What is so good about this comes very early in Jesus' ministry. So the people who came to Jesus, they were still trying to figure out who he is, what he was all about. But right away, he says, you are the salt of the earth. Not once you've been a Christian for 10 years, then you'll be the salt of the earth. Not after you've read the Bible cover to cover three times through. Not after you've been to theology college. You are the salt of the earth. If your life has been transformed by Christ, if you have surrendered your life to Christ, right away you start becoming the salt of the earth. That's good. And then Jesus lays out this warning. If the salt loses its saltiness, so if we were to talk about salt like preserving food or preserving meat, if salt lost its ability to preserve the meat, how shall it be made salty? If it's ineffective, how can you make it effective again? It is from then on good for nothing but to be thrown out and to be trampled underfoot by men. So if we were to put some other words in there to help us understand what this means, we might say something like, you are followers of Christ, equipped to bring purity to a spiritually, morally polluted world. But if Christians lose their passion, pursuit of what is good, lose their effectiveness, how shall the world be made better? Because you are salt, the world is a better place. Because you are salt, your workplace is a better place. Because you are salt, your home is a better place. Your neighborhood is a better place. You walk into the coffee shop, because you're salt, you're coming into that place, it's a better place. The qualities that make you the salt of the earth are not for your private life, they are for your public life. Maybe we should say they're for your private life and your public life. Because Jesus goes on to say this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a basket, but on a candlestick. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. There are other times recorded in the Bible where Jesus actually tells us that there are things that should be done secretly. What are some things that Jesus said should be done in secret? Prayer, fasting. He actually talks about that in the Sermon on the Mount. That there are things in life, there are things in your spiritual walk that are intended for your private life. But he says, the qualities that make you the salt of the earth, it is for your public life. It should be so noticeable that people see your good works, and as a result, they give glory to you. They give glory to your Father who is in heaven. If you were with us in service this last Sunday morning in the 8 o'clock service on Sunday. Near the end of the service, there was a prophetic word from God. Our services here, we are open to the move of the Holy Spirit. You know, God asks, He instructs us that our services are to have order and we're to be prepared, but we're open for the move of the Holy Spirit. And this woman in first service, she received a word from the Lord, and she made this statement, this prophetic statement that I just can't get it out of my mind. As part of this word from the Lord, she said, God did not intend for us to blend in. God did not intend for us to blend in. A few weeks ago, we had missionaries here with us on a Sunday night, and anytime we have missionaries, I encourage you to come and listen to them speak. Missionary Wendy Osborne, the Osborne family, they're not that Osborne family. The missionary Osborne family, Wendy and Jeremy and their kids, they live in Odessa, Ukraine, which is a city on the coast. And as part of her message that night, she showed a picture of a lighthouse. And she made this statement about a lighthouse, and I never quite heard it put this way. She said, on a sunny day, the lighthouse is useless. On a sunny day, the lighthouse is useless. In fact, the way that the lighthouse is positioned on the harbor there in Odessa, it actually is an obstacle. It gets in the way. If it were sunny all the time, never foggy, never dark, it would be better just for the lighthouse not to be there. See, the light is most effective in the dark. For the spiritually lost, if we're Christians who spend all of our time exclusively with other Christians, we can be like a lighthouse at noon on a sunny day. All right, I want you to hear me on this. Yes, the Bible says that we should not neglect meeting together. Yes, the Bible encourages followers of Christ to build one another up. And yes, the Bible encourages believers that we need to hold each other accountable, other believers. So it's not either or, it's both and. In addition to the benefit that we gain from gathering together in settings like this, Jesus tells us that we need to take the light to dark places. Do you see the places where you are each day as dark places? Do you see them as dark places? God did not call us to blend in, to live as undercover Christians. All right, I'm going to work today. I just need to do my best to blend in. No one needs to know I'm a Christian. Now, some of you are so Christian that you couldn't hold it in if you tried. It just pours out of you wherever you go. Does anyone remember the word for the condition of low sodium in your body? Hyponatremia. We're almost done. It is highly likely that you are in places every day that have spiritual hyponatremia. There is a lack of salt. There is a craving for salt. There is a dangerously low level of salt. So, what is the answer? Who is the answer? You are. God has placed you there on purpose and for a purpose. Now, if I were to just randomly meet you and call you a salty person, some of you are like, that's me. People have said that to me. That's usually not a compliment. It means what? If I call you a salty person and you don't have any context to what I'm saying, it means what? That you're like bitter, you're angry, you're short. Maybe something that you don't like has happened to you and it's impacted your mood. Maybe whatever happened to you happened like 10 years ago and you're still bitter about it. Like, stop being salty. So, as we wrap up today, I want to encourage you to be salty people, but not that kind of salty. like Jesus salty people. You're salt shakers. You walk into where you work. Man, this place needs some salt. I'm not going to be a salt shaker in disguise. This place needs some salt. You're with your family, and there's a bunch of people there who don't know Jesus. I'm going to be a salt shaker today. You're in your neighborhood. Maybe you know in your neighborhood who the other followers of Christ are. Maybe you know homes in your neighborhood where there are people that don't have a relationship with Jesus. You're the salt shaker for your neighborhood. You're the salt shaker for your neighborhood. We face a choice. Are we going to be the salt shaker in disguise, or are we going to actively seek opportunities to be the salt of the earth? Last thing. So some of us may be sitting here tonight and you're thinking, you know, I'm not a follower of Christ. And actually, if you're honest, you might be saying, I am actually not contributing to the improvement of the world. How I've been living my life is actually contributing more to the pollution than to the purification. And you're here tonight and you don't know why you came, or someone invited you and you're not still figuring this out. The first step, as we've already said tonight, is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that here tonight. You know, a few weeks ago, as we wrapped up, someone stopped me at the door and said, Tom, could you help me become a Christian tonight? Could you help me give my life to Christ? Man, that was a great night for that person, and it was an honor for me. If you want to give your life to Christ, if there's that tug on your heart tonight, don't wait another moment. Make that decision right now. Make that decision right now. And you leave, if you make that decision right now, you leave this place as the salt of the earth. You leave this place as what Jesus called the salt of the earth. If you want to make that decision, it simply means telling your Heavenly Father, I acknowledge the way that I've lived has separated me from you and from other people. My thoughts, my words, my actions, they've hurt others, they've hurt me, and they've hurt my relationship with you, Father. So you're going to tell God tonight, I receive your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. I commit my life to Christ, and from this point on, I'm going to allow Jesus to lead me. I declare Jesus as the Savior of my sins, realizing that I could never do it on my own. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Father, we are so thankful that your Son, Jesus Christ, in the Sermon on the Mount, he told us that we are the salt of the earth. We are people who are essential to the function of this world. We are people who bring life into the environments that we enter into. We are people who drive out that which pollutes, that which corrupts morally and spiritually. Father, I am so thankful for those in this room who each and every day say, Father, show me how to be salt in the environments that I enter into. Father, you also know the people who are here tonight, and they would say that they are a follower of Christ, but they get nervous. They are afraid, Father, to let their light shine. Your word tells us over and over again, fear not. I pray, Lord, that we would be a community of bold Christians, not obnoxious Christians, bold Christians, with a humble peace about ourselves, that we are so in love with you that it spills out into the places where we occupy every day, our homes, our workplaces, our schools, our neighborhoods. Show us, Father, where you want us to shake the salt. Show us, Father, and may we have the courage to be obedient. And Father, you know the one who's here tonight who's making a decision right now to choose Jesus Christ as their Savior. I thank you in advance for that decision in this place of worship tonight. I pray over these discussion questions, this discussion question, I pray over the discussions that are about to happen, asking, Lord, that we would find encouragement through the conversations. We turn ourselves over to you, Father, asking us, asking you to use us in new and powerful ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Good night. See you on Sunday.
Thank you so much for being with us for the Life Together podcast this week. It's even better when we get to see you in person. Life is best lived in community. You're invited to join us on Wednesday evening here at Oak Creek Assembly of God. We are a church that exists to reach our world for Christ as we lead people just like you to discover and become who God created you to be. Find us online at oakcreekag.org/life.